Good evening. It is such a privilege to speak to you here in the presence of our Lord on this amazing experience in the Diocese of Pittsburgh when the bishop has led us into an all-night vigil begging for the outpouring of the Holy Spirit on each of us personally, but in a special way also on this diocese, which has set forth into an incredible new chapter, a bold risk led by our chief shepherd. I was trying to understand exactly what my goal was in this opening talk. I feel very privileged to be in this space right between the Festival of Praise led by the bishop and then leading us into this all-night vigil. And as I was contemplating that, I was looking up at the ceiling. And the thing is, and many of you have noticed, I don't ever wear glasses except to drive because I just don't like them. I'm nearsighted, and pretty much I can see everything I want to see, which is usually not the people in front of me, at a distance, because it just depresses me when people fall asleep. So I just generally leave the glasses off, and then I can't see you, and then we're both fine, and you can do whatever you're doing. But I decided to wear my glasses this evening for some reason. I was looking up at the ceiling, and I realized there's the Holy Spirit up there. Never saw him before. And I thought, I think that's what this talk is supposed to do. It's supposed to help us put glasses on and see what was always there, but we were too blind to notice it. Because the Holy Spirit is powerfully present in this diocese, and he's powerfully present in the life of each one of you who are here. But we need to put glasses on to be able to see it, or maybe clean the glasses off so that we can see how close he is to us, in fact, and how powerfully he is moving in our lives. I don't want to go any farther in trying to offer you a little word of exhortation and encouragement and inspiration without asking you for your prayers, because I've learned over enough years of speaking how completely incompetent and inadequate I am unless I have people praying for me. So I just want to ask you to pray for me for a few moments that I can say to you what the Lord wants me to say. And I'll pray that you're able to hear in your hearts the special word that he wants to speak to you. And let's ask for Our Lady's intercession. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen. That was powerful. Just that moment of silence when we're all praying together, intently, focused. And that's what it was like in the upper room when the apostles gathered with the other disciples around Mary in prayer. And this is what the scripture tells us. When the time for Pentecost was fulfilled, they were all in one place together, and suddenly there came from the sky a noise like a strong driving wind, and it filled the entire house in which they were. Then there appeared to them tongues as of fire, which parted and came to rest on each one of them. And they were all filled with the Holy Spirit and began to speak in different tongues as the Spirit enabled them to proclaim. That Holy Spirit is just as truly and powerfully present here tonight as he was in the upper room 2,000 years ago. Will we pray in such a way that we experience him more tangibly in our own lives? Will we pray in such a way that we are able to invite him into this diocese more powerfully in this time when we so desperately need him? How will we pray tonight? Pope Francis, when he met with charismatic Catholics from all over the world last year in the Circus Maximus in Rome, he said that 50 years ago, there was a current of grace, that began and moved throughout the world. And you know where that current of grace started? Right here in the Diocese of Pittsburgh. He even acknowledged, literally, in this meeting, he said, I think some of the original founders were here. Patty Mansfield, is she here? Pope Francis acknowledges that a current of grace began in the Diocese of Pittsburgh at the Ark and the Dove 50 years ago. And that current of grace is still moving powerfully throughout the world. Sometimes when we look around at the Diocese of Pittsburgh, we might wonder if it departed from the Diocese of Pittsburgh in order to move around the world. Well, whether or not that happened, we can be certain that it has returned, if it ever departed, and it is moving powerfully here now. A current of grace. I want to focus on that word current and leave that for you as a little reminder throughout this night to think about that current of grace. I have to think, first of all, about an electrical current. We know that the Holy Spirit is spoken of in the Scripture as powerful, and that word in Greek is dunamis, from which we get the word dynamite. There is an electrical current, a powerful current that moves in the Holy Spirit. But you've all been in a house where the lights are off. You've all been in a house where the lamp is unplugged, where the power machinery or the power appliances are simply unplugged. There can be a powerful current here, and there can be something capable of communicating that power here, but if they're not connected, it does no good, and it looks like death. Nobody looks at an electrical outlet and goes, oh, that's a lot of power right there. It just looks like a piece of plastic on the wall. But in that electrical outlet, there is power. Power. There is an electrical current in the Holy Spirit, but we have to plug into it. We need to plug into that current. It's what we're doing here tonight in a very powerful way in front of our Lord in the Blessed Sacrament. One of the first ways to tap into the powerful electrical current of the Holy Spirit is to plug into the sacraments, is to recognize the real presence of Jesus in the Blessed Sacrament. He is here with us. And when we receive him in Holy Communion, he is alive in us. We are connected. We are plugged into him. And there is a current, an electrical current that is flowing in us. When we connect to him in prayer, when we really call on him and we say, come, Lord Jesus, I need you, Lord Jesus. When we say, come, Holy Spirit, move in power in me. I need your power. I need your grace. I can't do it without you. We plug into that electrical current and we find something start to change in our lives. Now, I will admit to you that there is also a certain kind of delayed effect, a little bit like plugging in a battery. You know, we have all these batteries that you can buy everywhere now. I bought one in an airport. I just traveled to China a couple weeks ago and I realized I didn't have one of these batteries. It's very helpful when you've got electronic devices to plug in foreign countries and you're not sure if you have the right electrical converter, you know? So I bought one of these batteries and then I had to charge it up before I got on the 14-hour plane ride to China. And I plugged it into the wall and then I boarded the plane. So if anybody found my battery, it's by gate A4 in the Pittsburgh airport. But when you have a battery and you plug that battery into the wall, you know, there isn't a whole lot that seems to happen at first. In fact, basically nothing happens. You plugged a battery into the wall. But if you let that stay connected for a couple of hours and you don't board the plane and leave it there, then you have a charged battery. And that battery can communicate power, and we can take that out into the world. That's why we need an all-night vigil. Because, may we say it, the battery is low in the Diocese of Pittsburgh, in our own hearts. The battery is low, and it needs to be charged. And maybe your experience in prayer so far has been, well, it's nice to be here. It's a little bit energizing. It's not electric in the way Father is trying to talk about. But if you stay and you stay connected to Him and you keep opening a pathway in your heart, you'll start to find the charge filling up more and more. And you'll find something amazing happens when you go out of here and people say, how did you spend last night? Because your eyes are kind of drooping closed and you're falling asleep on them. And you tell them, I was plugged in. You were plugged into what? I was plugged into Jesus. Why did you spend all night with Jesus? Because He's worth it. Because He changed my life. Because in Him I have new life. And you should try it. And you know what's happening right there? Electricity is being transferred. The electricity that you drew in here is being transferred when you start to witness, when you start to share your experience, when you start to tell somebody else that Jesus is not just a footnote in your life or an appendix on your story, but He is the main character. He is the centerpiece. When you start to communicate that message, power goes forth and hearts are touched, because hearts that have been very emptied out by the draining quality of the world start to taste a little bit of that power that we were made for, the electrical current of the Holy Spirit that flows from Jesus. Plug in. Soak it up. When I think of the word current, I think of another current. And this is actually the image that Pope Francis used when he talked to the charismatic renewal. He said, it's like a current of a river, and it's flowing through the whole church. And you know how water is. It has a way of finding cracks and crevices to get itself into everything. That's why we have leaks in our roofs that make their way somehow into the basement of our houses. Water has a way of making through difficult, even almost impermeable surfaces. But the fact is that it is possible to dam up that current. And that's where we also have to look at our hearts tonight. After this experience of Pentecost that I read to you, Peter, who suddenly was filled, they spent 9 days in the upper room, you know, the first novena, a novena renewed for us by Pope Leo XIII in the end of the 1800s. He was inspired by a prophet, a sister whose name was Elena Guerra. She told him, she sent him 9 letters and told him to do several things, and he did all of them. He must have believed her. He wrote an encyclical on the Holy Spirit. He established a novena to the Holy Spirit, and on January 1st, 1900, after morning mass in St. Peter's Basilica, he sang the Veni Creator Spiritus, which we sang earlier tonight. And the Holy Spirit poured down upon the fundamentalist community in Topeka, Kansas, and they began to pray in tongues and praise God, because the charismatic renewal began in the Protestant churches at the invocation of Pope Leo XIII, and that eventually made its way into the Catholic Church through the Pope, who was dubbed by Pope Francis the Pope of the Holy Spirit, John XXIII, following the Second Vatican Council, and with a few young people at the Ark and the Dove, who are willing to bring themselves before the Lord in the Blessed Sacrament and ask for a deepening of their confirmation. And they experience the extraordinary gifts of the Holy Spirit, so much like the apostles in the upper room. After Peter was filled with the Holy Spirit, he went out and he began to preach to everybody, because his battery was so filled up he couldn't help but release it. After preaching powerfully, the scripture tells us, when they heard this, they were cut to the heart. Cut to the heart. And they asked Peter and the other apostles, "What are we to do, my brothers?" Peter said to them, "Repent and be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus Christ, for the forgiveness of your sins, and you will receive the gift of the Holy Spirit." Brothers and sisters, when we think of the current of grace which is flowing toward each one of us, we have to recognize that water can be blocked. The current can be blocked. It can be dammed up in our hearts, and there are ways that we can prevent him from entering. Repent. Tonight is the night. What are the barriers that we've let get in the way? Where are the ways that we've hardened our hearts? Because people have hurt us? Because we've become frustrated with the church? Because we've been disappointed so many times we've become cynical? Oh, another program. Oh, another project. Oh, another homily. Oh, another mass. What difference does it make? How much have we let that wall of cynicism cover over our hearts? Maybe a wall of fear. Maybe we felt that draw from the Holy Spirit to step out, to witness, to become more active, to volunteer, to commit ourselves to making a difference in the world through the church. But that fear holds us back. Some pain, some pride. Maybe we're afraid of what they'll think, what mom will think, what my kids will think, what my husband will think, what my wife will think. Vanity. What's holding us back? What's preventing us from allowing that current of grace to flow powerfully into our hearts, and then to flow like streams of living water from our hearts to quench the thirst that is so present? Walk one block, you'll encounter 10 people who are dying of thirst. You can become founts of living water to quench that thirst. To quench the thirst of those who live without hope because they live without God in the world. Don't let anyone live without God. Be bold, confident. He is present and he loves you, and you can count on him and he won't give up on you. Receive his love and proclaim his love. But let's look at those places where we have failed, where we have put up a wall, where we have limited the power of the Holy Spirit, where we have become cynical, hardened. And let us repent. There are confessors and people are lined up. I'm so delighted to see that. We'll have prayer ministries and an opportunity to pray with you personally. Tonight is a night of hope and healing. and the hope that comes to us in Jesus can overcome every assault of the enemy that we've faced in our lives, every failure. And believe me, I know them all. However you failed, I failed. After that current of grace reached my life and I was baptized at the age of 21 and I entered a monastery at the age of 22, I've experienced every failure since then, and I know them all well from the inside. It's one of the things that makes me a compassionate confessor, because I hear anybody's sins and I go, I get it. I know what you mean. And God forgives you. God has mercy for you. God's mercy is greater than all our sins. Current. I was reflecting on the word current, and what came to me was currant jelly. It's very nice. Have you had it? I know, it's a different spelling, but you know, it sounds the same. These are things that Pope Francis can't do in Italian, but we can do in English to take advantage of our gifts. You know, currant jelly is very sweet. And, you know, the Holy Spirit is very sweet. The greatest of the gifts of the Holy Spirit is the gift of wisdom. Now, the fathers of the church, to switch into another language, liked to notice the similarity between wisdom, sapientia, and to taste, sapere. And they said wisdom is the gift of being able to taste the sweetness of divine things. Now that's an acquired taste. A lot of times the Lord gives us a little foretaste early on in our conversion because he wants to draw us and he knows how fickle we are. And I've hoped you've all had at some point that foretaste. But if we want to develop that refined taste, that taste of wisdom for divine things, it requires plugging in again and allowing that current to flow vigorously and continuously into us. Just like that battery, if you plug it in and pull it out and plug it in and pull it out, you're never going to draw any charge. And that's where we need to make a commitment. Tonight is also a night of commitment. To stay here, to commit yourselves to prayer, but to commit yourselves going forward to prayer and then to sharing that prayer through charity. A charity that begins at home, a charity that extends into the workplace, and that a charity that finds extraordinary outlets as well. The stranger on the street, the person in front of us in line at the shopping mart, the person at the homeless shelter, the person who's under a bridge tonight. Developing a taste for the Holy Spirit, developing a taste for divine things. I won't claim that I've developed the most refined taste, but with the effort that I've put in, I can tell you from personal experience, it's worth it. Stay connected. Keep tasting. The world tempts us with a lot of tastes that are sweet at first but become sour in our stomach. They leave us empty, and they ultimately ruin our taste. If you've ever eaten anything with a very refined taste, after you ate a mouthful of sugar, you know what I'm talking about. Carrots just don't taste good after dessert. But even carrots have a certain sweetness of their own. The Holy Spirit is better than carrots. But if we take the time, make the commitment, develop that taste, that refined taste for divine things, the current jelly, the current of the Holy Spirit begins to become so sweet to us, so that the all-night vigil or the Eucharistic adoration or the daily mass, our rosaries and our morning offerings and our daily acts of devotion don't just become dry but we pass through that dryness as our senses are dried out and we become sensitized to the sweetness, the sapientia, the sapere of the Holy Spirit. The last current. When does all this start? Our electrical current and the current of the river that wants to make its way through the walls of our hearts and the current jelly of the Holy Spirit. When does it start? In the current day, today. Today is the acceptable time. Today is the day of salvation. Don't wait. Don't commit yourself to next week or the week after. Commit yourself today. And tomorrow, commit yourself tomorrow and the day after, one day at a time. The current day is the day of grace. The current day is the day when the electrical current of the Holy Spirit is flowing. The current day is the day that we will find Him. It doesn't matter where we've been or who we are, today is the day. Let us never allow a day to pass without tasting the sweetness of the Holy Spirit, without charging from the electrical charge of the Holy Spirit through our prayers, without breaking down the walls that build up constantly. Repentance is not once and done, it's a daily affair. Repent and believe in the gospel. We have to choose again today, no matter how many times we've done it in the past. Today is the day. I hope that we're able to see a little bit more clearly with the glasses of faith, the Holy Spirit, who is right there with us and who is right here with us and who is right here in the body of believers, also with us, powerfully present. Think of how different this cathedral is with all of you here than it would be if you were here alone. Praise God that you have responded to His call, communicated through His bishop, our dear Bishop Zubik. Thank you for receiving this call to be here and to call down a Pentecost, to welcome that current of grace that began in this Pittsburgh diocese and has covered the entire globe from one side to the other and wants to erupt here again now on mission, bringing the church alive like she has never been alive, even 50 years ago when that current of grace started flowing in this diocese. I want again turn to Our Lady. She is the lightning rod for that electrical current of the Holy Spirit, standing in the midst of the apostles in the upper room. Her absolute availability, her deep longing, the cry from the depth of her heart that her thirsty children would be watered, that her hungry children would be fed, that we would be filled with grace, continues to echo through the centuries, and she cries out here as well. And so we ask her to remain with us and pray with us throughout this night. Sweet Mother, be a mother to us. Help us see the blockages and repent. Help us plug into Your Son, our Lord Jesus Christ, and allow that current of grace and the Holy Spirit to flow into us and develop that taste for the sweetness of divine things. Hail Mary, full of grace, the Lord is with thee. Blessed art thou among women, and blessed is the fruit of thy womb, Jesus. Holy Mary, Mother of God, pray for us sinners, now and at the hour of our death. Amen.